live in someone else's mind? That's an interesting interpretation. That's an interesting consideration. To live in someone else's mind. Think about what that means, to live in someone else's mind. We have the most beautiful mind in the world within us, within me, within you, within each individual on the face of the earth. But we are not fully aware of that. We are not fully aware of just what this wonderful mind is. Because this mind is something so beautiful, so significant, so fantastic, that we haven't even begun to touch the genius that it is. Although we think that it's so wonderful to live in somebody else's mind, we read books, we read stories about what other people are doing, we look into life and see what's going on, and we say, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that fantastic? We look at the lives of great men and great women, and we read about all of the fantastic things that they have done, and we are utterly beside ourselves with joy and imagination, saying, wouldn't that be nice if we would do such a thing? And as we do things like that, we continue to be on the outside of ourselves. We do not pay attention to just who and what we are. Now, all of these great and wonderful people are purely but a reflection of their divine self. They're an outpicturing of what they believe about themselves, what they have gotten to know themselves to be. They have listened to the not still quiet voice, but the loud, clamorous voice within them saying, go for it, wonderful, jump out of the airplane in a parachute or bungee cord, do these things, do this, do that. And then the people go and do it. You see, in our mind, we can do all these things, and we do all these things. In our mind, we do live these adventures, and that's where they start out. And you can be sure that the story that is told by an individual about himself, the story that is told about an individual by another, a reporter, a story that is told about an individual by observers, all of these stories are quite different. And all of these stories are different from one major point of view, and that is, what is the intent of the observer's thoughts while watching? What's the intent of the doer's experience while doing it? What is the intent of the reporter's reporting while he is looking at the event, while he was transcribing the event and putting it down for the rest of the world to hear and know? This is the uniqueness that it cannot be shared with anybody else. It is something so special to each individual. Now, as you have an adventure in life, to you, that adventure is great. If someone snubs you, you are deeply concerned. If somebody snubs you, other people don't care at all. It doesn't bother them that you're being snubbed. They don't really care. But you do. You see, we always interpret everything from our own point of view. We always interpret everything from who we what, who we are, who we want to experience these things for, what's going on in our mind. We can live in someone else's mind, as we have done most of our life, by reading books, magazines, watching the newspapers, listening to television, going to movies. All of these things have allowed us to step out of our consciousness into someone else's. But even there, we're not living in their consciousness. We are living in our consciousness, interpreting what we are seeing them do in their world. And we are, in fact, one with them in their world, in the oneness and the allness. And anything that anyone else has done, anything that anyone else has experienced, we can experience too. Fact is, we do experience it. We experience it very wonderfully, very powerfully, and very beautifully. But do we give ourselves the privilege of realizing that we are living our own life? You see, within us is the continuing story of who we are. We come out of the allness, we express from the allness, we have taken this body, this human form that we have, and we have decided that we're going to live this lifetime. We're going to be a human being. We're going to live certain parameters. Now, everything is sort of set up ahead of time that if we do certain things, other things will follow, and so forth and so on. Now, we might say that's fate. We might say that is predestination, that we have no choice to make any decision for ourselves, and we could be right if we follow the status quo. However, there's always going to be something that comes into a person's life that makes them feel quite different from what their attitude had been only moments before. Now, is this change in attitude something that is being what we are destined to be? Or is it changing our destiny? Is it revising it to meet the new attitudes that we have? Well, this is a decision that we each have to make. Whether we think that everything is predestined and that we just go through life experiencing whatever it is that we're going to experience and we have no privilege, no ability to change it, or is part of our adventure thinking that we can change this any moment we want and we can put a new cause in motion any moment we want. We can have a new experience any moment we want. Is that perhaps the enjoyable, delightful, fantastic aspect of who and what we are? Is that the story of what we'd like to say? I kind of think it is. I kind of think the story is constantly being written. We have the book of our life inside of us. And we can open that book and read it and know it by listening to the divine in us. And as we listen and read, we can, as was said, we can tear out the pages. We can put new pages in. We can go into the past and rewrite the past. We can rewrite the history that has been there. Authors are doing that continuously. They're going back and rewriting the history of ancient Rome based upon what they found in the hair samples of the emperors and the different people at that time. And they're digging up the ruins of the ancient cities, and they're finding out facts that changed their thinking entirely about what they believed had been going on at that time. So you see, in fact, history is being constantly rewritten. It's constantly being changed, and it will be constantly changed because new awarenesses are coming up. Now, these new awarenesses may have nothing to do with what people say. I like to impress upon us, and me especially, the idea that the Big Bang theory is a theory. It is not a proven fact. It is not something that will stand the test of investigation from one point or another. People are investigating it. They're attempting to prove it or disprove it. But it's just a fascinating theory. It's a fascinating theory that people like to have. Well, now, if you can have a fascinating theory about the universe, why not have a fascinating theory about yourself? Have the fascinating theory that you are a beautiful person, that you are intelligent, that you are wise, that you are spiritually illumined. Why not have the wonderful journey of saying, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body? Why not say, I'm whole and perfect? Why not say, I am wise? I know that I know that I know. Why not say all these things as a human being and as a divine replica of a human being, and bring forth all these things that are our belief about ourselves? We have read long enough the stories of other people's lives. We've read long enough the stories of history. Now let's begin to live those stories ourselves in us. Live our own life, our own history. If we were all, then all the things that ever were, we were. If we are grand and beautiful and glorious, then all the things that were are grand and beautiful and glorious. We have the privilege of living our life so vibrantly, so valiantly, so wonderfully, so filled with power and goodness and joy, if we will just begin to live our own life. We look at other people and we say, gee, I'd like that or I don't like that. And as we make that observation, we are looking at it from our own inner self. We're looking at it from our own inner light. And rather than looking at other people and seeing them separate from us, look at other people and realize they are the reflection of who we are. And so, as we look at people, let's look at them as beautiful beings, as competent, capable, intelligent beings who are spiritually illumined. Look at every person on the face of the earth as spiritually illumined, for then surely you are a spiritually illumined person seeing another spiritually illumined person. The saying is that a master sees only another master, and this is true. So let's live our life so that we can live in oneness with the divine that we are within, with the capacity to achieve any goal we have for ourselves or don't even know we have for ourselves, and live a dynamic, vital, forceful, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious life that knows no limitations. But we do that by starting to read our own book. Live in someone else's mind, and you will think you're living something outside of yourself, not recognizing that it's you. But when you live in your own mind, when you read your own book of life that you have written and that you are rewriting and that you are constantly improving on, remember, there's nothing, so to speak, cast in stone. It's all there for you on your computer, waiting for you to revise it, to erase it, to delete it, to improve it, to enlarge it, to sparkle it, to do whatever you want. Because we are the master of our world. We are the master of our thinking. We are the master of our life. Now, as the master, as the being who is totally, wonderfully, fully in charge, let's take this as something quite nice, as something quite wonderful that we can really live our lives with. Live in someone else's mind, and you believe that you're living outside of yourself. Live in your mind, and then look around you, and you will see that you are all of these things that you see. When you are aware that everything outside of you is what you are inside, it's kind of heavy sometimes. Look at yourself that everything in the universe is you, and you are glorious, and you are good, and you are beautiful, and you are fantastic. Now look at that, and as you look at that, you will see that no matter what choice you make, you are the master. No matter what choice you make, you are the genius. No matter what choice you make, it's fun. And you're being yourself. Live in someone else's mind, and as you do that, you will feel incompetent. You will feel unfulfilled. You will feel unworthy. When you live in your own mind, when you listen to your own divine self, when you make no comparison to the world around you, just awareness within yourself of who you are, then all the doors are open beautifully to you. All of the stories that you are come forth, and all the magic that you are comes forth. It's a great experience, and it's one that each one of us can fully enjoy if we want to. So this day, look into it. Live in someone else's mind? Not me. I'm Dr. Herbert L. Wiley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, and I can tell you one thing. I live in my own mind. I live in my own thinking, in my own wonderful world. And it's a wonderful world indeed. Because I created each one of you in this world as a reflection of me. And you're good and very good. Being yourself and having fun. Thank you for joining with me today. It's been a pleasure to be with you, and I recognize that every one of you are fabulous right now and forevermore.